"What got grandfathered in?" Emin said, completing the sentence for me. "What were the special exemptions?" And then there was silence, except for the babble coming out of his jammer, each of us waiting for the other to finish the sentence, to answer the question. I hoped he might know, and that he might be so forthcoming as to share the answer with me. But from the look on his face, it was plain that this was not the case. So I had to follow the logic myself. Fortunately, Magneth and Ignatha Forel chose this moment to come down to the water's edge, as it had become obvious that something was about to happen. I looked at them, and Emin Beldo looked with me.
"Those guys," he said.
"Those guys," I affirmed.
"The lineage?"
"Not exactly the lineage, since that goes all the way back to the time of Metachorines, but a kind of secular incarnation of it, a dowment that was established and funded around the time of the Third Sack. Tied into the Mathic world in all sorts of ways, owns Ekba and Elkhazg, and probably other places besides."
"Maybe it looks that way to you," Emin said. "But I can promise you that most of what you call the Pangendrums have never heard of this dowment.
It is nothing to them, exerts no influence. Magneth Forel, if they've heard his name at all, is just a dried-up, blue-blooded art collector."
"But that's how it would happen," I said. "They would set this thing up after the Third Sack. It would be famous and influential for about 10 minutes. But after a few wars, revolutions, and dark ages, it would be forgotten. It would become what it is."
"And what is it?" Emin asked me.
"I'm still trying to figure that out," I said. "But I think that what I'm saying is that—"
"We seculars are in over our heads here," Emin suggested.
"I'm comfortable with you saying that. But are you comfortable with the practical consequence?" I asked him.
"Which is
that if I get the order," he said, with a flick of the eyes at the place where I'd secreted the everything killers, "maybe I should ignore it, because it was issued by a clueless secular who has been working from the wrong narrative."
"Exactly," I said.
And I noticed him rubbing his jaw with his thumb. He had gotten a new jaw since Tredegar.
Most unusual.
From hanging around with Cord, I knew some of the terminology. Emin's jaw had been milled from a solid billet of alloy, not molded in poly or stamped out of sheet material. Very expensive. Not mass-produced.
"Nice, huh?"
He had caught me looking.
"I've seen one before," I said.
"Where?"
he said sharply.
"Jad had one." "How could you know that?
It was issued to him immediately before the launch. He burned up before you could talk to him."
I just stared at him, hardly knowing where to begin.
"Is this one of those in-over-my-head things?" he asked.
"More or less."
"Tell me, how many more of those things?"
"Up here, at least one."
And he turned his head toward the inflatable. The outer door of its airlock had been unzipped, and a series of men and women in impressive clothes were emerging, patting their heads self-consciously as they got used to the feel of their nose tubes.
"The third one, the bald man, has one just like it."
My right arm departed the conversation. Ayla had made off with it. The rest of me caught up just in time to avoid dislocation of the shoulder joint.
"You should wear your earbud," she told me. "Then you know we're in the middle of an aught."
She slapped a bud into my hand and I wormed it into my ear. Music had begun to play from a band on the other side of the ellipse. I looked across and saw four long boxes, coffins, being borne down to the water's edge by mixed contingent of Renewden, Troan, Lateran, and Phothosian soldiers. Ayla led me round behind the inflatable, where Arcibalt, Jezri, and Leo were standing at three corners of another coffin.
"For once, I'm not the latest,"
Leo said wonderingly.
"Leadership has changed you," I said,
and reported to my corner. We picked up the coffin, which I knew must contain the remains of Lys. All of these coffins smacked me into a whole different frame of mind. We carried Lys out from behind the inflatable, centered her in the road that led to the water's edge, and set her down as we waited for the procession on the opposite side to finish. The music, of course, sounded strange to our ears, but no stranger than a lot of stuff you might hear on Arb.
Music, it seemed, was one of those places where the Hylian flow was especially strong. Composers in different cosmi were hearing the same things in their heads. It was a funeral march, very slow and grim. Hard to say whether this was a reflection of Ernewdan culture or a sort of reminder that the four in those coffins had slain a lot of geometers and that we had best keep that in mind before we got to celebrating them. It almost worked. I actually started to feel guilty for having delivered the Veilers to the Dabin Ernud. Then I happened to glance down at the coffin beside my knee and wondered who up here had shot Jules' wife in the back. Who had given the order to Rod Ekba? Who was responsible for killing Orlo? Was he or she standing around this pool? Not the sorts of things I should have been thinking at a peace conference, but there wouldn't have been a need for one if we hadn't been killing each other.